And we are now joined by today's race winner of the Steakhouse Elite 200 at Darlington Raceway, and that's Justin Allgaier. Justin, we're going to roll right into questions for you, and our first question is going to come from Davey Segal. Go ahead with your question, Davey.
Hey, Justin, congratulations. First of all, where the hell did you get that mask? It is haunting my dreams already.
Well, I actually ordered this before Daytona, and it didn't show up, but that's why the color's a little bit off. But, hey, it's a good place to debut it. Obviously, it was good to go to Victory Lane, and I have literally creeped everybody out all day, so it's perfect.
Well, it's still working. What does your wife think about it?
Oh, she hates it. Yeah, she's so ready for me to get rid of it. It's not even funny, but it's a race-winning mask now, so I don't know that we can get rid of it. So,
yeah, I guess it works. So this is your first win at Darlington, second of the season. Are you surprised that it took you this long to win at this track, or is it the track too tough to tame for that exact reason?
This place, the reason why everybody wants to win here is because of how difficult it is. You know, this place is truly special. And, you know, one of the things that I loved about the end of the race today was the fact that I was battling two of my teammates. We had four fantastic Camaros today that all had a shot at going to Victory Lane. And that's something for me that's just – that's what this place is all about. This place embodies, you know, what I feel like our race shop at Junior Motorsports really – really is all about. And you know, having a boss man like Dale Jr. and Kelly Earnhardt Miller, you know, those two love this sport and they love what the sport embodies. And this place really kind of is where the sport came from. Seeing all the fans today in the grandstands, there's nothing like this place. It has its own atmosphere and it's really special.
Cool. Thanks. Congratulations. Please keep the mask off.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, Justin, when you saw how many people stayed out before the final green light checker, were you pretty confident you'd be able to hold everybody with fresh tires off?
You know, it was very interesting. There were a few cars that I was surprised that came down pit road with that green light checker. I felt like, you know, when I looked in the mirror, I was a little surprised by who came down, and then I think that was kind of quickly followed up by relief that, you know, there were a lot of us that stayed out. You know, I felt like, you know, the first restart there when Josh and I got out front, you know, I felt like his car fired off a little bit better than mine did, but every restart after that, I felt like our car stayed about the same and everybody else seemed to lose a little bit of grip. So, you know, I wasn't sure how much guys were kind of fighting grip there at the end. You know, it's hard to know how hard you're pushing because you're at max grip, you know, you're just maxed out on those green white checkers especially. But I felt like, you know, all day kind of our strength was early on in a run and we struggled maybe a little bit at the end of a run. So I knew we were going to be better off than maybe some of the others. But, you know, you can't script those, you know, they came down to the end, you know, last spring, the first time we came here last year, you know, Chase Briscoe and I had a heck of a battle all day. And, you know, ultimately I put myself in a bad spot and didn't have a chance to battle for a win on those final green white checkers. And so today I tried to change that and try to do it a little bit differently, approach it a little bit differently. And that last restart, you know, when Josh and I went into turn one, I wasn't sure we were going to make it through. I just told Josh that, you know, I wasn't sure either one of us were going to make it through. We both drove it off into turn one really, really hard, but you know, we both knew that clean air was going to be so important. And that's, you know, ultimately what got us Victory Lane. Thanks, Bob.
Our next question will come from Joseph Passero. Go ahead with the question, Joseph.
Hey, congratulations, Justin. So next week, you're going to be racing against two of your teammates for the Dash for Cash bonus, and you're also going back to a place where you won last season. How do you feel about your chances coming off of this win going into next week, and what are you willing to do against your teammates to take home the Dash for Cash bonus?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I had forgotten that this was another qualifier because we've been so bad at these Dash for Cash races this year. It doesn't seem like we've put ourselves in a very good position. But, you know, today was a great end of the race. We had three teammates right there. Michael was strong all day and unfortunately had some issues there towards the end. But really, you know, those final restarts, you know, it was the three of us. And we were all up there battling for a win. And the one thing that I will say is I love the group that I've got around me right now. You know, the three teammates that I've got have been awesome to race with this year. We've had a lot of fun and those final restarts were hard and, you know, we pushed each other to the absolute max, but we also respected each other. And, you know, Dale and Kelly both, they want us to race them out for wins, and you know, they know things are going to happen. But on the other hand, we raced each other clean today. We pushed each other to the absolute max, and that's all you can ask for, you know. So I'm proud of our team today. I'm proud of the effort that we put in, and I'm proud of, you know, what we delivered, you know, as an ultimate end of the day.
All right. Thank you. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Our next question is going to come from Jim Utter. Go ahead with the question, Jim.
Congratulations, Justin. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit on how you would describe this season. Obviously, you got off to such a rough start, but now you've won a race maybe where you didn't have the best car. You've also led laps in plenty of races, and now you find yourself as the only other driver besides Austin with two wins this season. So I'm like, how would you assess where you guys are as a team?
You know, Jim, one of the things that's interesting about this year in 2021 with the Xfinity Series is there's so many unknowns. You know, each and every week we go to the racetrack, you know, if you hit it right, you know, there's 12 guys that could go and battle for a win every week. You know, some weeks, obviously, some cars miss it, have trouble, you know, have a bad pit stop here, there, whatever. But, you know, there's a solid 12 guys that you're questioning, okay, who's going to be the guy today? Who's going to be able to win it? You know, my teammate Josh Berry has done a fantastic job. I mean, coming in, being a rookie at most of these places and doing what he did today. I mean, putting himself in position to win. I mean, that was incredible. You know, Noah up there leading laps all day. I mean, there's so many guys just within our own organization that could win every week. And so, you know, for us, we didn't start the season off like we wanted to. We just didn't execute week in and week out. In the last few weeks, we've been able to execute and you know, Talladega is what it is. But I feel like we've done a good job of executing, and that's been the difference maker for us. So, you know, we got to keep that momentum going, but you know, you can't afford to be off even the slightest bit anymore, because there's too many other guys that are going to be right there to pounce.
Thank you very much.
Our next question is going to come from Pete Iacobelli. Go ahead with the question, Pete.
Justin, just wondering if it meant anything more to you that you were driving a car honoring the late Dale Earnhardt, and that Dale Jr. was here, you know, pacing the field for you guys today.
Well, first of all, Dale driving the Nova today, that car has been sitting in our shop, and I'll be honest with you, that car to me is the epitome of what I would love to race one day. That car is just the coolest car in the world. You know, obviously, Dale's history in this sport, Dale Jr.'s history in this sport runs extremely deep, but to have the Dale Sr. throwback on the car, to have the Dale Jr. Throwback helmet, to have Dale Jr. here, you know, I don't know that you can describe those emotions, right? You know, our graphic designer at our shop, Ryan Williams, this is like every year when it comes time to come to Darlington and you have the throwback race, you know, he's a details guy, right? And he's all about making sure that our throwbacks are as good or better than anybody else's in the pit area. And I feel like we did that. We honored Dale Sr., I hope, very well. You know, we had a beautiful looking race car. And, you know, I'm super appreciative of all the sponsors too that allow us to do a throwback. I mean, they're changing their brand colors or their guidelines to be able to let us do a throwback. And it means a lot. You know, we don't take that for granted. And I hope that our fans enjoy that. I know the teams get behind it and really have rallied behind that. And it's meant a lot to us. And, you know, I'm dressed like an ice cream delivery man, but that's truly what today and this weekend embodies, is just, you know, understanding where the history of the sport is and really paying homage to that.
Great. Our next question is going to come from Mark Garrow. Go ahead with the question, Mark.
Thank you. Justin, how in the world did you spot the guy in the blue t-shirt, see your number one, the double barrel number one that he gave you, and why did that motivate you the way it motivated you?
You know, it was funny because I actually caught a young lady giving me the 3 for Dale with a thumbs up. And that was the first thing that I saw. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. You know, driving a Dale Sr. car, you know, she obviously was a Dale Sr. fan. She had a Dale Sr. t-shirt on, actually. And that was really neat. And it wasn't another 10 feet past her that the gentleman was giving me the two middle fingers. And you know, that's the beauty of this sport, right? You don't have to like everybody. And I've always tried to be the best person that I can be on and off the racetrack, and you know, tried to race hard but clean. And so I would say it probably bothers me a little bit when people don't like me, right? Like I don't ever want to not be liked by anybody. But I think, you know, it was interesting to see the difference of emotion from one to the other. And I don't know why the gentleman didn't like me. It didn't matter at that point. It was the fuel I needed to be able to go out there and you know, have a great final restart and, you know, go to victory lane. So, you know, I've always heard the term haters or motivators, you know, but I don't necessarily always agree with that. But today, I guess I would agree with that. It was the case.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. By the way, I do have to say real quick to follow that up. You see a lot more in the grandstands at speed and under yellow than fans probably think we see. So to those fans that are cheering us on and or other activities in the grandstands, we definitely see them usually. So
that's good. Thanks, Ken.
Awesome. Our next question is going to come from Deb Williams. Go ahead with the question, Deb.
Well, actually, Mark kind of took my question. Congratulations, Justin. But along that line, you're talking about seeing the fans don't realize how much you do see. There was one time that a fan on the backstretch at Talladega kept flipping Davey Allison off every time he went by, and then the next time Davey came by and flipped him off, and the fan fell back off the fence. What are some of the other things that you've seen during your racing career?
I see a lot, you know. You know, our fans, that's the one thing that I love about this sport is the passion that our fans have. And you know, I didn't probably figure that it was appropriate to flip this gentleman back off, just considering he was in the middle of a big crowd. First of all, people probably would wonder what the heck I was doing. But second of all, I'm not sure that's my style either. But you know, the biggest thing honestly is, you know, the fan interaction with what we do, whether that's cheering, booing, up against the fence. Obviously, I don't recommend going up against the fence, but we do have some fans that do climb down as far as they can get to and get next to the fence. You know, when you're rolling around there, you know, we're hyper-focused on what's going on, but there's always, you know, I would say most race car drivers have pretty good peripheral vision, and so you're seeing things go on and you know, outside of your view, and you do your best to not pay attention, right? I mean, we just have to, but under yellow especially, you're paying attention. But probably the most interesting one to me was I wasn't in the race, but when the gentleman climbed up on top of the fence at Richmond, that's probably the one that I have to wonder if I would have seen. And if you're seeing it, you're definitely taking your focus off of what's going on. But you know, I've had a lot of things happen, you know, inside the race car that we won't talk about here that we've seen. All you got to do is ride around in the back of a pickup truck pre-race with Dale Jr. and you'll see a lot of things riding around the racetrack that you don't see anywhere else.
That's true. Congratulations. Thank you.
We're going to go next to Kiev and Anton Hareskev. Go ahead with your question, Anton.
Thanks, Matt. Good afternoon, Justin. Congrats on your win. So you are the second driver in the Xfinity Series this year to have multiple wins. Do you have some thoughts about the title fight already?
I mean, it's like May 5th or what, May 8th, right? We're still a long ways from the playoffs. And, you know, I've been in this situation where we've been fortunate enough to win races and get to the playoffs and tank completely. And so for me this year, I've changed my approach, I would say, a little bit. You know, I'm looking at each race as they come. And you can only give 100% for me. And so, you know, as a team, as a driver, I have to be prepared. The team has to be prepared to be, you're going to battle that day. And so for us, this week was about Darlington. And, you know, I know Dover is next week only because I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about it, and I didn't even know what race was next after that. You know, after Dover, I do know that COTA and Charlotte are coming up only because my wife is on pins and needles, because that's around the time that we're due. And she's worried that I'm not going to make it back home when she gives birth for our second child. So, you know, we have to, that's the only reason I really know that. After Charlotte, I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what's coming up. And it's only for the simple fact that for me right now in the moment, it's you know, understanding what race we have in front of us, the task in front of us, preparing for that race the best we can. And when we get to the playoffs, I don't plan on changing that. You know, when we start those playoffs, I'm prepared for that particular race, and that's it.
Thank you. Congrats on the win once again.
Thank you very much.
Our next question will come from Mitchell Brewer. Go ahead with your question, Mitchell.
Justin, you mentioned as you crossed the checkered flag line that you had checked off another box. What box do you think is next for you to check off, or what box are you hoping to check off next?
You know, honestly, I look at these racetracks and each one of them has a story to tell, right? The men and women that have come before us that have raced these places and, you know, battled and gone to victory lane. And, you know, I would say that I'm a student of the sport. I've been lucky enough to be around a lot of these racetracks growing up. You know, my dad sold the racing tires for the ARCA Racing Series. We were the Hoosier distributor that handled all of the ARCA races. And back then, you know, the ARCA Series was running with Cup on a regular basis. So in the 80s and 90s, you know, I was going to a lot of these events and watching tracks and watching drivers that, you know, have gone on to be my idols and my heroes. And to come back and to race at a racetrack like this, that's what made it a bucket list item, right? Atlanta, same way. You know, I think all the racetracks that have the history to me are what are the ones that I've really kind of circled and said, hey, I want to check those boxes off, right? The old school racetracks that you really feel like require you to just be on your A game that day and to race the racetrack versus race the other competitors. Now, that being said, I've got COTA circled on my schedule coming up here in a few weeks because, hey, I want that one really bad too. You know, that's a new one, and we all want to win in the first racetrack. So I would say next COTA. But after that, you know, Charlotte is a big one for me. I'd love to win at Charlotte. Doesn't matter if it's on the Roval or the Oval. A win there would be big. And as we go, I just want to start checking off racetracks as we go. You know, I look at some of these guys that I've grown up being, you know, fans of that have won, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 races. And I just go, man, I can't imagine that. You know, I can't even envision what that seems like. But every race we win truly, truly is special to me. And if I don't ever win another race, I'm perfectly content with the races that we've won. I'm super happy. But, you know, the goal is to try to win as many as we can at these racetracks that I truly love.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our final question is going to come from Cole Cusimano. Go ahead with the question, Cole.
Thank you. Congrats, Justin. And for someone whose father was actually a Good Humor ice cream man, this is pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks. You were vocal about fans in the stands playing a huge factor today and giving you motivation. Were you conscious of the impact they had pre-pandemic? And I guess if not, how has your perception changed?
You know, I think for me, you know, like I said, growing up as a student in the sport, I've been to racetracks where, you know, you can't walk, right? And you feed on that electricity, right? And as with all things, there's ebbs and flows, and we've had, you know, racetracks that are fuller and racetracks that don't have as many fans. But I think the fans realize when they couldn't come, and I think the drivers realize when they couldn't come, how truly, truly special and how important they are to what we do. And you know, we're battling in a space where, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for fans to do a lot of other things outside of coming to a NASCAR race and watching us race. So every fan that comes and is a part of this and truly supports what we do, that's incredible, right? You think about the amount of hours that folks work nowadays, the time and energy that they put into their jobs, their kids, their other activities. You're asking for a lot for them to come and spend their day or their weekend here at the racetrack. And so when they do come and they are here to support it, or they're at home and they're watching on their couch, it means a lot to us because we understand the sacrifice that they're making to give up that amount of time. So, you know, I think for me, I probably didn't have as good of an understanding. I had a good understanding, but I didn't have as good of an understanding as I would have liked to have when the pandemic started. But I can promise you one thing. There will never be a racetrack that I ever go back to that I would ever wish that the fans couldn't come to, because it truly is incredible and special to have those folks here. And today's probably one of the more packed grandstands we've had since the pandemic, right? And to see the ages from little bitty kids all the way to elderly folks in the grandstands, it truly, truly humbles you as a person to watch all those folks up there and giving their time out of the day to come cheer us on after the race is over, or during the race and after the race is over. So that's really special for me.
Awesome to hear. Hey, thank you again so much, and congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah, Justin, congratulations on the victory today, and thanks for inspiring me to go get an ice cream right now. So
hey, I Instagrammed that I was dressed as a delivery man, so my job was to deliver the ice cream to Victory Lane. We did that today, so couldn't be more pumped to have good humor in the car and get them here. And I feel like this suit, it's a one-off suit, but I feel like I need to wear this thing more often. It's pretty special.
Good deal. Well, we'll see you down the road in that suit, I'm sure, at some point in time. Congratulations again, and good luck next week in Dover.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care now. That will conclude our media availability here for today.